Hello, and how are you doing? Welcome back to another episode of The Inside Track presented by Call Review. On today's program, look, just going to put it right out there on Front Street. Our leader, the Call Review leader, Ben Schroeder, is our guest. But before you even consider hitting pause or stop in case you're concerned it's a, a half hour commercial infomercial for Call Review, I assure you it's not. Yes, the topic is how dealers are leveraging AI to improve customer outcomes. And yes, I happen to think we have amazing products at Call Review that are based around AI that ultimately can help you make some money, save some sales, and improve customer relations. But I assure you, if you dig in and listen, one of the things I love about Ben, and yes, I actually love it, it's not because he's the leader of our company, is he's so engaging, he's so interested in technology as a whole. You're going to hear him. He actually redirects the conversation at several points to get off of the automotive space in conjunction with AI. So he likes to engage in conversation, no script, no questions beforehand. We just hit record and we went. And it was effortless, to be quite honest with you. Spoiler alert, it's not always like that when you record a podcast. But with Ben, it is. So I hope you'll enjoy this again. And yes, it would be very kind of you if you liked, if you subscribed, if you shared the show. Whatever you want to do, doesn't matter. We're just happy you're listening. And I hope you enjoy this conversation.
Welcome to today's webinar, How Dealers Are Leveraging AI to Improve Customer Experiences. We are joined by an expert panel. I will go around the horn. I'm going to introduce myself first. My name is Eric Glass. I'm the Senior Director of Go-to-Market and Enablement here at Call Review, and I am joined by these two distinguished gentlemen to my, stage right. That would be Benjamin Schroeder and Kurt Larson. Ben, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Thank you, Eric and Kurt. Great seeing you and everyone who's tuning in. Thank you. We really appreciate it. Hopefully you'll leave here maybe with a couple laughs. You'll learn a little bit. We'll engage you. I'm Ben Schroeder. I'm the CEO of Call Review, and it's an honor to be presenting to all of you.
Awesome. That was perfect. I love that intro. That's great. We worked on this. We're in good shape. I'm Kurt Larson, Sales Enablement Manager at Call Review. I'm here to provide the laughs. I think that's the reality of the situation. Excited to talk about AI. I find it fascinating in all aspects, not just automotive, but I think that's what we're here to focus on. Is that right, Mr. Glass?
Well, can I say one thing before, just so everyone knows, Kurt is not AI generated. He is a real person.
Yes. Sometimes we'd like him to be AI generated. Maybe we can control him a little bit.
I think any time I mess up, that's AI, just so we're
it's clear. Definitely not a deep fake. All right, Eric.
It's a deep fake. You got it. All right. So we're here to talk about AI and how dealers are using it to, out improve customer conversations and improve outcomes across the board, right? Variable ops, fixed ops. Now we're seeing a lot of people move into AI on the F&I side. Whether that's, engaging with potential customers on your website, all the way through to monitoring and analytics on the backside. So the first question for you, Ben, is, why AI and why now?
All right. So first of all, in a dealership, most important commodity is the customer journey, right? Engaging with the customer, solving their issues, just in, being part of what they need when they need it. And nothing does it better than AI. Like, people use this, they throw around AI all the time. What we're able to do with AI is every call that comes in and out of a dealership, we're recording it, instantly transcribing it, creating summaries, pulling out key data points, creating alerts to managers and members inside the organization, all to do one of three things, or all three things. How am I going to answer that client swiftly, promptly, with the right answers? Two, how can I learn more, like engage? So while this is going on, while the conversation is going on, whether it's in service, whether it's in sales, or any part of the organization, I can't think of everything that's going on. Is the AI going to allow me to see more information so I can engage? And then the other part of it is the follow-up. What should I do after the call? What should I do after the interaction to follow up? But even more importantly, maybe what didn't I do totally right that next time I could do better? How do I continually learn? And for us, nothing does it faster, more accurately, safer than giving you this AI information right back, taking your data, which is the key, and giving it back to you, the individual and the dealership, the customer, and the whole dealership, the organization as a whole. Gets me so excited. I could talk about this all day long.
You do talk. You do get to talk about it all day long. Kurt, what do you think?
Well, I think those are some good points, obviously, but I think from a higher level, what I find interesting is there seems to be somewhat of a misunderstanding about what AI is and what it can do and some of the fear that comes with it, right? But the reality is, at the end of the day, no matter how this progresses, customer relationships are still going to be what matters. Your relationship with human beings is still going to matter. But what we've seen for years, especially during the COVID peak, is, you know, the client was savvier or smarter walking into the building, right? They knew everything ahead of the game. With AI, we can have a little bit better understanding of what they're looking for, what trends are happening, how we can strengthen that relationship. And by the way, get rid of the mundane nonsense tasks that are taking away from strengthening that relationship. It's not going to replace everything. It's going to get kind of cut the fat, as we would say, right?
It's not supposed to take the place of
right.
It's supposed to enhance the experience.
So I think that's an interesting point that you both bring up there, is that that challenge around, and you know, we have a lot of our customers, and I talk to a lot of our AMs a lot, where they're trying to overcome the challenge of getting some of the, you know, because if we think about the car dealership world, right? And I think about the worlds we all came from. I've been in enterprise SaaS now for 20 years, and AI is not a new thing to that world. And it's a pretty common thing, and it's been used for years now to improve task flows and rewrite task flows and things like that. What are some of the things and why they should be leveraging outside of what you just mentioned, Ben, around the, you know, accuracy and speed of summarizations and getting things there? But how is it that a lot of dealers are overcoming maybe that hesitation or that fear of jumping into the AI world and really understanding and embracing it, in your opinion?
It's because it's their data. I mean, don't you want to better understand your data? Don't you want to better understand your customer? Don't you want to better understand your employee? Use this technology to extrapolate all of this information in bite-sized, usable, you know, treats, right? Little snackable treats that you can use to make all experiences just a little better. How great is it if you really think like down the road, is while I'm engaging with a customer, I have their whole history of our dealership's interactions with that customer. It can pull up all the good things that might have not gone well, so I can have a better interaction this time. And I think, you know, the key is millions and millions of interactions your dealership's going to have with different customers. Use that data. No better way. How's anyone going to physically go through it all? Technology is going to enable you to do it. And again, it's your data. It needs to be safe. It needs to be secure, but you should be using it.
You know, no, Eric, hold on. Let me all say this, because you asked, what's the reluctance perhaps to jump into AI? Well, get over it, because it's not going anywhere. And what do we know from history? Early adopters win, right? It doesn't matter what it is. Social media, video. Right now, there's different trends in different industries, you know, real-time shopping, auctioning, things like that. The point is, if you're reluctant, you're going to get it passed by. By the time you get it, suddenly your competition is already adopting it and they're going to beat you. Bottom line, right? That's the end of the conversation. I mean, some of the ways you can see it, how about your marketing, right? Do you know what ads are being optimized? Do you know what's actually bringing you ROI? Or are you just guessing? Wouldn't it be a lot better if you knew distinctly what to do, where to put your ad dollars, so you can get a better ROI? So my position would be, you know, I'm not here to coddle anyone. It's here. AI is not going anywhere. Adopt, or your competition will.
No, that's an excellent point, Kurt. And also, I just noticed your hashtag, which is the hashtag for this webinar, work with quirk.
That's mine. Personal brand.
If you are around here, join the conversation on social media, go ahead and tag the post with work with quirk. And we will get back to you. So Ben, you kind of leaned us and kind of got us right into our first topic, right? Around all of the data that our customers are getting, right? And all the interactions with a dealership. It's just, there's no way, there's no way one person or even a group of people inside a dealership can keep up with it anymore, right? Thousands of interactions a day. It's just not possible for humans to get there. So how are we leveraging AI now? And not just to us specifically, but how as an industry, or is AI helping dealers really personalize and expand on that customer experience to make it something that is special every single time?
So there's a couple reasons. I mean, we could talk about this all day long, but like simple ways, knowing information about the customer at your fingertip when you're actually having those interactions with them, right? It used to be if they remembered your birthday and they sent you a note, you felt really good about it. How about if you remember something in your brain, you're always looking to remember those last conversations? What happens if the AI is taking all those last conversations and putting it in front of you? And so you don't have to sit there. You can engage. I can have this conversation with you and I don't have to be looking through my notes. I don't have to be scrambling, you know, through our CRM. It's all coming to me. So when I'm engaging with you, I have everything I need. And then based on what they ask you, it helps you come up with more results. That's really what it's about, right? Like, look, we launched a new product called Test Track. All of our clients, because we're either phone systems and call tracking, they all go, you got to make us better on the phones. How do we get better on the phones? And that's really how the company got started. But what Test Track is sort of like this batting cage where you can get to practice pitching to a customer, handling objections from a customer, handling issues with the customer. All the conversations come from all the years of data and all the years of interaction, just so you get used to communicating with it. And AI enables me to do that 24/7, wherever and whenever. So I just get better, smoother, easier, all about the interactions.
Yeah, that's great. The way you mentioned the AI in the notes, it reminds me of the scene from The Office where Dwight finds Michael's Rolodex and he's got all the personal notes about it, right? It's not it's moved us to a world where we don't have to keep those anymore. And it's just right in front of us and delivers it to us with that. So from there, Kurt, what are some of the common challenges we're seeing dealers face? And, how is AI helping overcome them through the industry?
Well, there's a couple for sure that come to mind. Obviously, Ben just mentioned fix the phones. How we talk on the phone? How can you make that quicker? He kind of gave a great bite size of that. I think there's other ways. How are we getting alerts and how quickly can we get alerts, right? So I think that's a big game changer. Now we're getting alerts in real time right away. So you can call a client back, a customer back, find out what's going on, potentially save that sale. So that's just another way, right? You talked about market optimization. How about patterns and trends, right? We can see what's working via keywords, things like that. Like, okay, it looks like SUVs are really picking up in this space. Why? Can we target that a little bit more? So I think there's a lot of different areas we can get granular about, but holistically, there's no avenue where AI isn't touching within the dealer space or not, you know? Right. So there's just a few, right?
No, I think you bring up an interesting point around specifically the SUVs and, you know, things along those lines. So, right. The way I want to phrase this question is for both of you, and you know, either of you can jump in here. First is, you know, how is that helping dealerships improve outcomes, right? How are they identifying those missed opportunities in that sack and then going back after those customers to make sure that they're driving more revenue for their dealership or even at the group level?
So I'll give it from 1,000 feet up, and then I'll let Kurt like really drill in. Since like if you're working with us or even one of our competitors, but let's just pretend you're working with us, every call that comes into your dealership or out of your dealership, we're capturing, we're AIs converting it into transcript and summary, pulling out data. But what about those, let's say 25, 30% of your calls that don't go answered? They go into voicemail or they go to the wrong place. I still now getting information on it. The AI is giving me information, giving me summary, sending me a deal alert as a manager saying, hey, you might have missed this call, but this customer was calling about this specific car. And if you wait 24 or 36 hours or finally get to that voicemail, you might not get that information. But because of the technology, it can instantly let you know that this is somebody looking for this. Or on the other side, there's a CSI issue, right? Or A customer just wants to know what the status of their car is. Like, this technology enables you not only to take all this information, be super proactive, get it to the right person, but also train your organization. How do we make this so it doesn't happen to again? And so when you think about it, anyone calling your dealership about a car, could be $25, $50, more, $1,000. They're much more educated than they were before. So you got to have the right answers or you're going to go across the street. Service department, if you don't respond to them or get back to them, they're one drive away from getting that oil change at Jiffy Lube, and then they're not going to come back to you. And if they don't come back to you for service, is there a good chance they're not going to buy their next car from you? So if all this is coming in, we want to be responsive. We want to get in front of you. And 1,000 feet up, you have all the information your dealership needs at your fingertips already. Why aren't you using it?
Yeah. Perfect example. I was talking to a dealer recently and I said, hey, I always like to ask, how do you use our platform as an example, right? Just, I want to know how you use it. Now, how I see you should use it. How do you want to use it? And they said, every day I come in, I set up my filter so it just does the day before. And I just go to appointment opportunities missed. So to be clear, it was set on the phone that the client wanted to set up an appointment, but for whatever reason, the appointment wasn't set. So we missed something there. So in that example, SUV, we could drill down and do just the SUV's appointment missed, call those people back, find out what happens. One of my favorite things is, this is also what we can do. Rather than listen to a 10-minute call or sit there and read 40 pages of a transcription, which, let's be honest, you don't have time. You can jump into this feature. We call it visual voice. Call it whatever you want. That's what we call it. You can see if it's a red sentiment, means, oh, things didn't go well. This specific 30 seconds, we have noted, AI has noted, it went bad. Something was said, you know, negatively. Customer went off the rails. We didn't answer correctly, whatever. So I can just listen to that in 30 seconds. So when I call back Mr. Glass, I say, hey, Mr. Glass, I know you called yesterday asking about the SUV. Blah, 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 blah. I have some more context to the actual call. They're going to be impressed. Like, wow, they really know exactly what I said, how it was said, how it was done. You're adopting a emotional connective thread because you listen to the call, even though you know you only listen to 30 seconds. But that 30 seconds was the most pertinent aspect. We got a 30-minute podcast. You can listen to the clips of this if you want. You don't have to listen to the whole thing.
Look, yep. I mean, I'm old, and when I was in high school, we used to buy a thing called Cliff Notes, right? Instead of reading the whole novel, you read the Cliff Notes. This is basically putting the Cliff Notes in your hand the moment. And it's the right information. And the AI isn't just like you're taking a blank AI and letting it do everything. The ML, the learning modules inside the AI have been trained. What should we do specifically to the industry? Even take it down to the level specifically to your dealership. That's what's really important.
You know, and I just want to drill it home again. Early adoption. This is like version one or two of AI. Where do you think it's going to be in 2025 or 2026 or 2027? Early adopters are going to win over their competitors. There's no conversation left after that. That's just the truth.
And I think it's interesting with the early adopter thing, and it's a speed thing, right? And Ben, you've brought that up a couple of times, and Kurt, you've brought it up. It's you, if you look at, you know, you look, step outside your dealership and you look at all the dealerships to your left and your right down the street, you know, across the street, a couple blocks over, if they're using a product like this and they're gaining that competitive advantage from the speed in which they can react to customers, the speed in which they can respond to customer requests or even CSI warnings and things like that, and improve those relationships, that's really what it's built around. And Kurt, you said it at the top of the call, right? Is it's always going to be a personal connection that sells the car, right? You're always going to have to interact with that person. And this is going to help you drive that personal relationship. And this drives kind of in... This drives into the next talking point, right? And Kurt, you brought it up a little bit, so I'm going to go back to you, is around we talked a little bit about, you know, improving the customer experience and making sure that you're getting to them. But how is this really improving the employee experience and making better salespeople?
Well, I don't want to go off on a passionate rant here, Eric, but perhaps that's what our podcast will get known for. Training is everywhere. It's everything. It's critical. Anyone reluctant to train in any aspect, I think, is really misguided, right? So, to use Ben's example of Test Track as a batting cage or whatnot, right? We can see how well they're doing on the phones. If they're passing challenges, it creates velocity, right? It's the one thing we can't replicate. If we bring someone into your dealership to train how to talk on the phone, which is great, it has its place. I'm not taking away from that. But after that, we can't recreate reps. Reps are everything. Reps make you better in any way of life. That's just the truth. I know everyone uses the free throws with Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant, but it's every aspect. Yeah. Everyone rehearses to be an actor, a newscaster, things like this. You get more comfortable on camera the more you do it. Same thing applies here. So to go against an AI simulation to try to win their business or, you know, save a client or customer, it just makes it so that when you get in the call with a real person, you're quicker and better. And that's just one example. We can do employee report cards. We can look at number of calls any particular employee is getting, what their appointment set percentage is. How about this? What employees are getting information, right? Mr. Glass, are you getting people's email? Are you getting their phone number? What's your percentage of doing that? And by the way, no one should be scared. This isn't meant to be like overlording Big Brother. It's meant to make you better. You're a salesperson against other salespeople.
So let me be better. I'm gonna pile on, but what? Look, it's also gonna make you more relaxed. The more you practice, the more relaxed you get. People aren't gonna be able to, you know, like get you off guard. But here's the other thing that I think why it's really important, and we don't talk as much about. The customer who used to call a dealership 5 years ago, 6 years ago, wasn't as educated. They were calling your dealership saying, hey, do you have any cars or do you have this car in? What color do you have it in? Oh, can I come in and see it? Do you have this used car if it was used car? Guess what? Now, because of the internet, they're so much more intelligent, right? They're calling the dealer and saying, I see you have this car, but the car across the dealership down the road has this car. Can you cut me a deal? I'm more educated. So when are we as a dealership, how are we going to fight that? How are we going to be better prepared for it? The technology will allow you to be better prepared. If your customer's coming in better prepared, you better be better prepared. Internet enabled for them, AI, all the call analytics, all the alerts is making you better prepared so you can meet the client, not be ahead of the client, but meet the client face to face.
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring up right the internet, because we see in our data the amount of people that are coming in, and we know from a lot of those sources, and it's not just the traditional sources right now, right? Because it used to be where we would have, you know, you'd go to Auto Trader, you go to, you know, CarMax or one of these sites that specializes in that. Now you have to be compared. Now you have to be prepared for the conversation that, you know, the customer had on Reddit with two guys that own this car already, and they're asking about aftermarket parts, and your folks have to be trained on such a wider variety of things to be able to engage in that conversation. I mean, I follow somebody on Twitch that just works in a garage and just builds custom cars. And for those of you who don't know, Twitch is, it used to be just a video game platform, but now it covers all types of shows. Right. And all he does is sit there and take questions from the audience on how to fix the car, or he had a Toyota Camry on the other week, and he was talking all about the engine system and how to do it. And that's how people are getting educated now, right? They're engaging and beginning this conversation in a medium that is not just a spec sheet on how many MPGs we get, how fast it goes, safety ratings and stuff like that. They're actually engaging socially out there on all of these different sites. And if you're not watching all of that, right, it really doesn't help you, or it does you a disservice in your dealership if you're not paying attention to those channels and you're not bringing that education internally. And that kind of rolls us into our next topic, right, around the power of reputation management and how using this data is going to help you improve your reputation out in the market, like I was just talking about. So, Ben, we'll start with you, right? How can we use AI to help identify and address, you know, either negative or positive trends in customer feedback?
Well, listen, for me, it's all about what are they saying about me outside? I want to know what they're saying about me. And I can't react. I can't get better if I don't know what they're saying about me. And especially the not good stuff. I want to be able to get it so I can fix it. I can make it better. We all can improve. Look, I run this company called Call Review, and I know that people can tell me all the good things about the company. It's a great company. I want to know where we can get better. I want to know where we dropped the ball. I can't fix it if I don't know about it. And you can't know what everything they're saying out there. Isn't this a great way that the technology can bring to me not just the positive stuff? The 5-star reviews, great. I love those, makes me feel really good, but it doesn't make me better. the 2 stars, the 1 star, the no star reviews is where I get better. It's where I'm losing revenue. It's where I'm losing relationships, where I'm losing the customer and their customer journey. That's how I want to use it. I want it to pull it in. And my reputation, well, we're only as good as our reputation. And you can spend your whole life building your reputation and do so many great things. It just takes one thing to ruin your reputation. You got to figure out ways to interact with it and make it better.
Well, I just want to tell you both, if you ever want a one-on-one, I can tell you what people are saying about both of you. I got all the critical data. It's not a problem. I think that's really...
I don't know if I want to know.
Here's the thing. Also to that, if I could jump in a little bit, right? Used to be we would see one critical comment, we would jump and try to fix it as a business or whatnot, right? I'm not saying every person isn't valid in their opinion, but as we've become more savvy and how these things work, what it allows you to do is when you get a giant set of data, right? If one person is saying one thing, okay, maybe that's not something to address. But if you're getting a lot of people addressing the same critical scenarios that perhaps you're missing, maybe it's time to address that, right? You've got a lot of people saying, you know, the glass dealership, they always promised to call me back. They never call me back. Well, one person says that, maybe that's just one person. But how about 50% of your callers? I mean, that's a ridiculous number, but you get my point. So AI giving us the data, showing us that, hey, by the way, 40% of your clients are saying this or whatnot, that's going to help you determine what you're going to tackle as a challenge moving forward in the next quarter, next week, next month, whatever it is. So I think that's one good example of how to adjust reputation management.
So I think that really you kind of hit on my next two questions there.
Hold on. I got a question for you.
I got a question. We're rolling up on time, and there are some audience questions that I wanted to get to before.
Do you see how he's just throwing questions to you and I, Ben? No, supposed to be a give and take.
It is a give and take. You guys are giving everything, and I'm taking it all in. Right. What is, and this question comes from our audience, how can we start implementing AIs in ways that is cost-effective and sustainable, right? I think that's a big challenge for people is they hear AI and they look out on the internet and they're, with the state of the market, the state the market's in a little bit, I'm ad-libbing here on behalf of the audience member, but, you know, how is it that they can sustain this and use it to prove the ROI out versus just buying another tool from another vendor that they plug in?
You want to take this one or you want me to take
the first?
Well, look, I think you got to decide, first of all, what aspect of your business are you wanting to fix, right? We can do it all or we can do parts of it, right? So are you having problems with employee performance? Are you having problems in the sales department, the service department? Is reputation management? What is it? You can start with one if that's what you really want, right? If you're really worried about cost, which is what your question was, Eric, right? But the bottom line is, once you see the ROI, you're going to want to get more products per se. But what I would say is, and I'm not saying this because I work here or anything like this, any scenario, 1 month proves nothing. It's not going to prove anything. So I would err to say, like, what are you going to learn in 1 month? Like, if I sign up for a program and get 1 month, not even your program, something I like, I don't really learn anything. If I do a podcast analytics for what we're doing, what I do, it's not going to give me anything after a month. So just as an example, using Test Track, which is obviously we're the only ones that have it, right? The AI batting cage for sales and service agents, right? Do that for 6 months, then you can see the results, see the ROI. It's very cost-effective, early adopter. I'm not trying to sell you. I'm not the sales guy. I'm just telling you that's one example of, hey, we want to get our people better on the phones really quickly. How can we do it? Get Test Track. Get it for 6 months. See what happens. Check on your employees. How often are they getting into it? Are sales going up? Are they learning? Are they getting better on the phones? You'll find the answers pretty quickly. That's one way.
No, it's a great answer. Next question.
Next question. Oh, I was going to go to Ben. I thought he was going to chime in there.
You know what? I want to get to more questions. You got to try it and you got to use it and you got to make a commitment. Like, you know, you're not going to know it after a day. You're not going to know it after 30 days. Make a commitment.
Anyone can have a bad month. Anyone can have a bad month or a great month. Conversely, means nothing.
Yeah. I think what are some of the, and this question comes from another question from our audience here. They're trying to sell their GM on using technology like this, and the GM has a lot of misconceptions. What are some of those misconceptions around AI, and then how would you overcome them?
I'll go again. I mean, I think we already addressed it. I don't want to be redundant.
I mean, I could say one of the common misconceptions, right, that I see a lot is around how AI is going to replace your salespeople, right? which is one of the biggest ones that I see.
It's never, ever. One of the biggest problems with, like, look, there's great AI auto attendance, right? It's a big thing right now, right? Because 35% of all calls going into dealerships end up in voicemail, right? So, but still, end of the day, it's just like in, you know, when you call American Express or you call United Airlines and their AI answers and it's an auto attendant, I still want to get to a human. And guess what the best part about a dealership is? One of the few businesses where everyone's still in the office, one of the few businesses where I'm still going to physically go in, it's not taking the place of a human. It's not. It's just going to make it better. It's going to make you better prepared. It's going to give you more information. Use it. Tailor it for your needs. And that's the home run. And you'll see.
Yeah. Let me add two more, Eric, very quickly. Number one, misconception. It's super expensive. No, it's not. The ROI is going to show itself within a month, whatever. Number two, it's going to take forever to implement. It's technology. It's hard. It's going to be an 8-month ramp. No, it's not. We're going to get it done quickly. Get you set up. So that's just quick versions of the answers. But those are some of the apprehensions we see.
Great. And then we don't have any more audience questions, but I have one. I'll lob one to both of you guys.
And can I lob one to both of you too?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So, out of everything we talked about today, what's the one takeaway that we can leave dealers with today, thinking about, you know, implementing this type of technology or like taking the step off of that cliff?
I'm going to say it is your most valuable. You have most valuable commodity is customers, prospects, and customers. We're going to help you with your customer journey in your customer engagement, and we're going to give you all the tools that are going to helpfully allow you to do that and build long listing customers. And that to me is one of the best parts about the technology.
Can I just say he's so smooth at the way he answers?
He is.
What I was just going to say was, look, we're going to make your life easier and make you get some more sales, make money on top of it.
All right. So now I'm going to lob my question. It has nothing to do with auto, right?
Okay. Because,
listen, anyone, if you want to learn about what we could do in auto, whether it's in sales, service, training, you know, does it, reach out to us and we'll demo it.
Yeah.
But also, hey, let's help people in general. Eric, I'll start with you, then we'll go to Kurt.
Sure.
Favorite AI tool, non-auto, like nothing to do with cars or auto or selling. Like, what is a tool that has, since it's come out, has changed you? And you can't say ChatGPT because it helps you with all your posts. Anything but saying ChatGPT, so it helps me with my posts.
I'm real down the Midjourney.
Don't know what Midjourney is.
So Midjourney is a complete image and video creation tool that you can prompt, and it will make an entire film for you. I use it a lot for YouTube and generating AI images for clips and stuff like that. If you couldn't tell, I have a 4-year-old running around the house and he's locked the puppy out now. So, live TV. But anyway, it's an amazing tool. I use it almost daily and I'll just find myself sometimes in there just spitting the most random things at it to see what it can create and come up with. And it comes up with some wild, wild, interesting stuff. And I'm taking a script that I wrote in college and kind of feeding it to it piece by piece and watching it storyboard it out, which has been.
And I think they can try it for free too. I think they offer a trial. So
yeah, they do.
Kurt?
So I don't have a particular software, but what I'll tell you is I do a podcast in my life. We're not here to plug it, but the way AI has made my life so much easier for a couple of reasons. Number one, show notes, click of a button. I finish the show, boom, done, upload it. I can adjust it if I want. The biggest thing is show clips for social media. I hit a button in 7 minutes. They're not always great, but I can edit them afterwards and whatnot. And I used to do the podcast years ago by myself, and I stopped because I was overwhelmed with the workload. I was just exhausted. So those are just two examples of things I can do to make it easy. It normalizes audio levels. It takes out background noise. A click of a button. So I'm pretty happy. I won't say the name of the product because it might be a competitor to what we're using, but you know, I'm sure this one does it as well.
So you use Riverside, but
I use Riverside. I love it so much.
But there's a lot of great podcasting tools, and people should use it. And I always advise everyone should have to do a podcast. Everyone thinks like it's really easy to do.
Oh my God.
I'm doing one a week, 30 minutes for next 12 weeks, and you'll see how easy. But it is easier now than it was a year ago, easier now than it was 3 years ago.
And also, can I just say, it goes back to what we're saying. It makes me better and quicker, but people are still connect to me on the mic, right? So it's just supplementing and helping. That's it.
Yeah. And then I actually, all right, so I'm going to be a little contrary on it too. So, because I'm all about the person, you know, I want to do video. I like content. I like that it edits my content. And I like how it could create clips and it could add graphics and it could help me with scripts. I love all of that. But one of my favorite products out there is Synthesia. It basically is a humanish. Like you can make yourself an avatar, not a cartoon avatar, and just write a script. It knows your voice. It will create that content, so I don't have to spend. Think about this: if I want to create a 10-minute training video of me talking, I'm going to go and create a 10-minute video. It's going to take me 8 takes. I'm going to mess up along the way. Your kid's going to walk in. It's going to happen. And it's natural. I can use this technology, write the script, upload it in, add video, going to nail it on the first try. The avatar Ben, who looks like me, has my body movements. You're probably not going to be able to tell it's not me. It's still my content. And it just allows me to create content faster. So there you go. That's my
Now, what are the chances we're going to get to see using Midjourney and Synthesia? We're going to see the long lost Ben Choder scripts from college. Are we going to see those come to a full feature?
No. But I do have some scripts.
So. I know you do. I want to see them. Let's go.
I mean, next episode, I will tell you about the script I wrote in college.
Love it.
Yeah.
All right. Guys, we are at time. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, everybody out there on the internet for joining us. And we will be back next month. Stay tuned.
And we're going to make Eric answer questions.
Yeah, I will answer questions next time. We're going to rotate the host around for this. So Ben's ready for that. Ben's ready for that. That's going to be a terrifying podcast for some of our audience.
It's going to be great.
Spinning in.
Thank you, guys. All right. Take care.